The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording, totally not the same day, just coming to you later from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago. This, the man behind the curtain.
Oh, God, you've totally ruined it for everyone.
Well, I've ruined
now
it
that
for
you've,
everyone years
Now that
ago.
You've told them about our production secrets of recording the exact same fucking day as before. This is totally not totes, not the same day, yo.
But this is cognitive dissonance.
It's fucking 12:30 in the morning.
It is.
I'm so tired.
I'm just here's the nice thing though.
Yeah.
When we're done, at least you get to drive back home.
Yeah, I get to go home. Yeah. Yeah, it's only like an hour.
Here's the thing though. You will probably get more and better sleep because I will go upstairs and sleep next to a baby that will wake up approximately 150 times between now and 7 in the
morning. You just got to start shaking him to sleep.
Well, no, what I do is I neglect him.
Okay, yeah, neglecting him is another option.
You know what you can do is just put pillows really firmly against them. And they're quiet for a real long all the time.
I was going to say you could get some earplugs in one of those things, but I guess if you pile enough pillows on him, you won't
right,
even hear
that
him.
You can't even hear anything.
Yeah, they can't even
hear him. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's squirm, but only for a few minutes.
It's like magic. The baby's gone.
Hey, before we start, did I tell you the story about what happened in our town this week? Happened yesterday in our town with the relics that came to town?
No, you didn't mention it.
So here in town, we have a pretty sizable Catholic church, just right down the street, right off the main street down here. And they had the relics, like the fucking relics were on tour. Like they had
fucking put them in the Pope Mobile and send them all over the United States.
So they had the relics of St. Mary, Maria Goretti came to Plainfield. And they had big fucking signs like, come see the fucking relics. So what they are is wax encased bones of an 11-year-old girl who died in 1890.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 1890, huh?
Now, she is the patron saint of chastity and forgiveness.
Okay.
And here's the story. And tell me if this isn't fucking appalling to be the patron saint of chastity. She was a poor 11-year-old girl whose family was kicked out of their home.
Sure.
Moved in with another family.
Okay.
She wasn't able to attend school because she had to supervised the other children. The fucking father died. They were dirt fucking poor.
Sounds a little Dickensian so far.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So then the 20-year-old boy who lived on the property.
All right.
I shouldn't say boy. 20-year-old man.
Was his name Slingblade?
I like that chastity. I'm going to take that chastity.
Oh, no.
So he tries to rape this little girl, 11-year-old girl.
Okay.
Failing that, he strangles her and then stabs her 14 times with an awl.
Okay.
She doesn't die right away.
It's harder to stab. Absolutely.
But you really got to want it.
Yeah.
The owl,
no, absolutely. Yeah. But sometimes if the owl wants it, then you just do it.
Then it's just like,
whatever.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
It'll
cut
you and then also deliver something from Hogwarts at the same time.
Stab him with the talons. Yeah. You know? So then she dies later from the infections.
That sounds horrible.
Right?
Right? That's old-timey, too.
Right?
1890s.
I mean,
out of it.
You're just like, I would like a not the infections. Like, all of my body is all of the pain.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's going to go. She's got the pus. So,
right? Yeah. She's got the stabbies.
Oh, no.
She's got a bad case of the punctured body.
Oh, no.
But before she dies, she forgives her attacker.
Okay.
Right? who then later gets out of prison and becomes a friar or something for the church. Like he becomes a church person. I don't know what kind.
That's great.
So then they then they canonize her. They dig her fucking bones up, cover them in wax, and because she had the good grace to die before being raped, to be penetrated by the all before she was penetrated by the perpetrator.
Sure.
She becomes the patron saint of chastity.
It's really a feel-good story.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then the patron saint of forgiveness.
Okay.
Right? Because, like, of all the people worthy of forgiveness.
Right.
Child-raping murderers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who then go on, no shit, to work for the church.
Well, the good
thing,
the good thing is, though, with that, is that you're sort of, you know, it's like killing her was like undergrad.
Shit.
Doing your post-grad work in the church later on,
right?
That's where it's at, you know?
It's like a gang initiation. Sure. Like,
and then when they send you down to South America, that's your post-doc
stuff. That's it, right.
You know?
Right.
That's like,
that's when you know you've hit it.
Sure.
Now that's the that's
well, yeah,
the
you got
time.
Tenure. They can't kick you out. You know what I mean? You're fucking, you fuck whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Anything
grab
office,
little kids by their hair, follow them around. Yeah, that's weird.
And people thronged. They thronged by the hundreds.
That's
so like,
weird.
Yeah, first the relic
thing shit
is so
weird as fuck. That's weird as fuck. That is witchcraft in my opinion. That's fucking witchcraft. You're fucking worshiping the bones of a dead human.
Right.
Weird as shit. But you know, that's whatever. You know, it's just weird. It's just fucking super weird.
And the traveling bones. Like, let's put the bones on tour.
Sure.
Maybe somebody needs to. Maybe this will inspire young girls to be murdered instead of raped, and then to forgive when they're dying of fucking infected wounds. What is the takeaway here? The takeaway is so unspeakably awful.
Sure,
but they fucking thronged, and I honestly
can you see though? I mean, I'm gonna try to play a little devil's advocate. Can you see though, from their point of view, that that this person is someone who should be emulated for their forgiveness in that situation because something so horrible happened to them. And even in the face of something so unbelievably awful, this person found it within their, you know, heart and soul to forgive someone of this heinous, heinous act that is completely unforgivable. But they were the ones who did it.
Yeah. Well, but yes.
So it's someone to be emulated is what I'm saying.
Right. I hear that, and I posted something on my Facebook, and a couple of people chimed in and said, "Oh, forgiveness isn't for the, you know, the person forgiven; it's for the forgiver." You
yeah,
know,
absolutely. Yeah, no, it's
you know, it, the
it's, because it's hate. I mean, you know, you want to let go of hate if you can, because it's just going to eat you up on the inside, right? So why not let go of it?
Yeah, I guess. But here's the problem that I have with that.
Okay,
I have a couple of problems with that. I'm not convinced that forgiveness is a blanket moral good. I'm not sure that I'm not sure I buy that. It seems to me that you can live in a space that is between forgiveness and hatred. That there's a continuum there with hatred on one side of the scale and forgiveness, real forgiveness, where I genuinely don't harbor any ill will toward the person who, you know, let's say hypothetically somebody were to murder my son. I can't imagine an ethical stance that compels me to forgive that person. And if it's a moral good, I would have to be compelled to do what's moral.
See, the thing I don't know that it's a moral good. I think it's a good for your own sanity. I think it's a good for your own being able to move past this particular thing. I don't know that that's moral because it's not a thing that you're doing so that you are good. It's a thing that you're doing for your own good. Does that, you know what I mean?
I hear that. I hear what you're saying, and I think that's the best way that distinction's ever been described to me. But I still feel like there has to be space that you can live in that is not forgiveness, but is not hatred either.
Ambivalence.
That's ambivalence with still a little bit of, you know, fuck that guy.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't eat me up. It doesn't keep me up at night. But I don't know, man. Like, and I also think that if I really internalize this kind of I don't want to say ethic, because I think you're right that maybe it's not an ethic. It's not a moral stance, but if I really internalize this lesson that it is my Christian duty to forgive, or it is...
I don't like that.
Right?
I don't like that.
If I internalize that and somebody commits a heinous act and wrongs me and takes away someone I love, and then I can't forgive.
Yeah.
Now I have the guilt.
Now you're doing a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah, now you're doing a bad thing. But, but also, I mean, again, I'm going to play advocate here. You're being human. It's going above and beyond to not be human and to forgive. That's why I would imagine they would say she's a saint, is because she did something that is extra human. That is, you know, it's beyond what a normal human could do, which is why she's a saint. Does that make sense?
It does.
I mean, in a weird sort of backward 2,000-year-old religion way.
Right. But I'm not – again, like I guess I just – I struggle with the idea that forgiveness is always appropriate.
Yeah. I don't know that it is either. And I'll tell you, I'm in the same boat. If someone were to do something horrible to someone I love, my first thought would be revenge. And I know that that's a terrible thing to think.
Right.
It's a terrible thing to think. And it's also a terrible – like we were talking about in the last podcast, talking about the death penalty and fucking revenge and how that's a terrible idea in a way to legislate. But as a person, first thing I think would be like, okay, somebody just, you know, killed your wife and they're being held, you know, and they're being, you know, then, you know.
Yeah, you want to destroy them.
I would figure out a way to get a thing in there to kill them. I'd be like, I can get in the courtroom and kill him. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll fucking make a prison shank. Like, I'll figure that shit out. You know, I'm ingenious. You know what I mean? Like, I'll figure that out.
Can you imagine? I mean, and I ask you this truly and genuinely. Can you imagine if somebody took someone from you that you loved through violence?
Yeah.
Can you imagine truly ever forgiving them?
There's
videos. In the honest sense of the word, where you're just like, oh. What else, dude? We're totes cool now, bro.
Biz bump. Right. Yeah, no, I can't. I can't.
I think at the very fucking best, the best I can imagine is not seething with loathing at every moment. I mean, really?
I know. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm in the same emotional bag. I know how I feel about that stuff. And I would, you know, I would be the type of person who – I'm the type of guy who responds to shitty comments on Facebook, for crying out loud. What do you think? I'm going to like not respond to somebody who does something horrible to me? Of course
right.
I will.
Right.
You know? It's there's too much there that I would I just couldn't let it go. But, you know, I would think that
I think
for my own sanity, it would be better if I did. Because
– I just think it's – I don't – I think it's weird – if you are so aggrieved, I think it's weird if you're so aggrieved. If somebody murders your kid or your wife, I mean, like the most important person in your world, and they murder that person, if you genuinely forgive them, like, that doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah.
That seems like it either seems dishonest, you know, it seems either dishonest or somehow pathological in another way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I can't imagine. And then to make this girl the patron saint of chastity because she had the fucking good graces to die before being raped is so appallingly misogynistic.
It's so awful. It's so awful.
How do you bring your kids to go see these wax-covered bones and explain the story?
I don't understand the fucking – I just don't get, like, the puppetry of the fucking – skeletons that they do.
Is it? Wait a minute. There's puppetry
no,
involved.
I'm saying
because that would go see that. Like,
yeah, no.
Tingity 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 tingity. They're like Weekend at Burning, and they like play it out like a Punch and Judy show.
No, they just stand her up against the wall, and you get to throw all at her. It's all or nothing, really.
Oh, nicely done.
All right, so let's get started. We want to do this episode, Tom. We set out a question to the audience, and the question was: tell us about your past experiences with woo.
Right.
And so what we're going to present is some of the calls people send in voicemails and such, some of those voicemails, and then we're also going to read several emails that people sent in. So we're going to get started right away. This is Bobby, and Bobby sent in a voice message to us.
Hey, Tom and Cecil. This is Bobby from Central Illinois. And I don't know if this counts as woo, but growing up, I used to be scared shitless of the Ouija boards my parents used to fucking say they're not allowed in the house, and I just, that stuff scared the shit out of me. So I don't know if that counts, but that's my contribution to the conversation.
I also was terrified of Ouija boards as a kid. And right now, I have a Ouija board sitting on my dining room table.
Do you really?
And, you know, I was looking at the Ouija board recently, right? So I flipped the Ouija board over. My wife did a video project with a Ouija board in it. And so she bought a Ouija board online from Amazon or whatever. They delivered it. She also bought a creepy doll and, like, some fucking fake holy water and a fucking candle. She bought a bunch of stuff, of props.
Right, yeah.
Two things. She also bought sage, like a bundle of sage.
Yeah.
She burned it in one of the scenes.
Stinks
it
weird.
Smells so bad. It smells so bad.
Yeah, it does.
It smells like the Long Island Medium. I mean, it just smells. But the Ouija board, I flipped it over because the first thing I thought was like, okay, when I was a kid, they build this shit as spirits. Now, I never read a Ouija board when I was a kid, so I don't know. But I flipped this board over to see like what – how do you explain this, right?
Yeah,
how do you, like, what's your pitch on the back of this board?
I bet it explains the ideomotor effect.
No, it doesn't even do that. It just says, ask it a question and wait for an answer, and it will give you an answer. It never tells you the method in which it does the things.
Sure, yeah, which is clever.
Yeah.
From a marketing standpoint, very clever, because it lets the owner of the Ouija board fill in the blank, right?
So you get to decide which one it is.
Right. I love it. It's a Parker Brothers product.
Yeah.
You know, it's a toy. And everybody's like, I was scared of them too when I was a kid. I had a babysitter who we drew one on a piece of cardboard.
You had a babysitter that did the Ouija board with you?
Yeah. Didn't I tell you this?
Exciting.
I never told you this story. We had this crazy fucking babysitter. We were like 12, 11 or 12. My dad was a single dad.
The absolute worst age for this. Yeah.
Right. And so, we had this like teenage babysitter who was like a senior in high school, right? Yeah. And she just fucked with us constantly. She was super crazy. And she didn't last. We had a lot of like super crazy babysitters. I don't think my dad vetted them very well, but like.
He was busy.
Yeah.
He was a single dad.
Whatever. I'm not blaming. I thought it was great fun. So she helped us. We watched this movie called Witchboard. Did you ever watch that movie? Did you ever watch that shit?
I may have seen Witchboard.
So we watched it. We're like, that's awesome. And she's like, well, we can make a Ouija board right now. And so we got a piece of white cardboard.
She fucked with you, dude.
And we drew one out with markers and everything. And we made a planchette out of cardboard.
Yeah, like out of a mayonnaise lid or something. Yeah.
We made it out of the same cardboard.
Okay.
And then she would play it with us. And like she invented this. It was fucking her. She invented this character that lived in our house. And like it fucking was scary and shit. And like, and then my brother got in on it because I was a gullible little shit. And so, like, she and I would be doing the Ouija board. My brother would go down and flip the fucking breakers.
Your brother is such a dick.
I was fucking terrified. We had made a whole thing about burning it and, like, saying fucking words. And
so when I was a kid, we did a Ouija board in this kid's garage, right? So this kid had a detached garage. So he had a house.
Yeah,
this house that was on, the part of the hill that was on his lawn area up there in the front.
Right.
Then there was a driveway that went to the back of his property down this hill, and there was a garage down there. And so we were – there's, like, four of us, and we wanted to do a seance. We were like, let's do a seance. Let's figure this out. So we started doing it. We started – you know, like playing.
Yeah,
I think we had a Ouija board or something like that. We might have had candles. There was something going on. And we had one light on and we had the candles or whatever. The lights go off during the middle of it. And we hear banging on the outside. Like, we also hear running around the outside. And it sounded like, you know, when you're a kid, I remember one of the kids saying, it sounded like a hoof thing was out there. Or whatever. We freaked the fuck out. It was the fucking kid's dad and his fucking older brother came down to fucking fuck with us when we were kids.
That's
scared
awesome.
The ever-loving Christ out of us. We were afraid. We just were like, what is that sound? And then the banging, they were both banging on both sides. And they're
right?
just fucking with us. It was, they were so mean.
Dude, they Blair Witched you.
Oh, they totally Blair Witched us. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
It was super awesome.
I tell you a story about the office building where the dentist had sage burnt through the building.
Oh, God. Yeah, you mentioned this. Yeah.
He paid overtime on a Sunday, double time, for the security guard to open the building and open the floor and turn off the sprinkler system because they fired an employee and she had such bad energy. They had someone come in and do a fucking witchy witch and like
burn. It smells terrible. I love sage in a fucking butter sauce in a burning form. Not a thing.
Stinky, stinky.
Oh, God. Smells like a fucking hippie. So the next one we got was from Randy, and so we're going to play Randy's message.
Hey, Tom and Cecil, this is Randy from Florida. My woo that I was seriously into was the ancient astronauts thing. Seriously, seriously into that. Wanted them to come down and get me because I knew that I didn't belong here on Earth. Used to stand out in my yard and pray that they would come get me. I actually even went and dug looking for a spaceship. Glory hole, guys.
That's amazing.
That is awesome. That is so great.
I got spaceships wrong, though. You don't have to dig to get them. They're coming from the top.
They do.
Down.
They go through the stuff that's up there.
Generally.
Yeah.
No, the thing is like, watch those ancient alien shows, and they're very convincing. Those guys, they just spout off shit that isn't true.
Right.
That's They'll say a bunch
convincing.
Of stuff that's true, but they say it so convincingly.
Right.
That it's hard not to watch those and think, well, that's interesting, because, I mean, watch one of those shows. Sit down and watch a show with no internet or anything and watch what they have to say and listen to what they have to say and think, you know, there's a few things in there where they say there's nothing else that could be like this, yada, yada, yada. Right. Why are these things there? Whatever, et cetera.
If you don't fact check it, if you can't fact check it.
If you don't fact check it and you also don't, you know, you take out other motivations because they talk about, you know, the fucking landing fucking. We're like, what the fuck do you need a landing strip for? You're fucking ain't you fucking flew here.
I love that you would fly here, make the landing strip, and then land.
And land.
That's the best
like,
part.
Wait, what did they do the first time? Like, they just like crash landed?
Show up.
It's like fucking, it's like they crash land and there's like a volleyball like Wilson sitting around.
I like a good landing strip like the next guy.
Hey now, you know, of course. As long as it doesn't have any dairy products on it, I'm with you too.
You need some room to work.
Yeah.
Did you buy into the alien stuff when you were a kid? Did you believe in aliens?
I don't know that I ever really did believe in aliens growing up.
I used to read the Whitley Strieber books, like Communion. I don't know if you ever read those or not. They were like horror books that he wrote purporting them to be true accounts of his own experiences.
Yeah.
And so they straddled this weird line where they were fiction, but he was sort of pretending that they were nonfiction. And they were all about, you know, the grays coming down.
Sure, yeah. That's all fucking that grays stuff,
And so I remember reading that shit and then being very confused. Like, he's a horror writer. I've read his other horror novels, but he's saying this is true and he's writing it, you know, without blinking at the camera.
I don't remember ever thinking that aliens were a thing. I remember seeing a couple things in the sky as a kid and as a young adult, that I thought were spaceships or something. I thought, well, that's not anything I can explain. And then later on was able to explain. I remember specifically one time I was driving with a friend in the car and I saw this thing that looked like it was, you know, in the distance, but it looked like it was spinning like this. And I thought, you can't see this, the audience can't see this, but I'm moving my finger in a way that it looks like it's oblong sort of spin. It's like a spin almost like that a frisbee would do if it was off
like
kilter
a wobbly
or something,
frisbee,
like a wobbly frisbee or something. And so I saw it and my heart started racing immediately.
Yeah.
I saw it and I thought, oh my God. And then we got 50 yards closer and it was a stork.
It was a stork?
It was a stork flying, and the way it was moving with its wings, it just had this weird look to it. But the way the sun hit and where we were.
Right.
It stopped me. I'm driving. I said, "What the fuck is that?" And the person looked. And they said, "I don't know." And then we got a little closer. Like, "Oh, it's a fucking bird. It's like a big fucking whatever the local long legged big long neck bird is.
Yeah,
whatever
sure.
crane or whatever the fuck whatever the fuck thing is."
Yeah, I remember reading like the Project Blue Book. I mean, I got into that alien shit for a little while.
I didn't.
I don't know if I ever believed it, but I was real interested in it.
So we want to play Matt's voicemail. Matt left us a message. Matt is from the Atheism 101 podcast, and we will be on the Atheism 101 podcast very soon in the near future.
We will indeed.
So we're going to play Matt's message.
Hey, guys. This is Matt from the Atheism 101 podcast. I'm going to tell you the quick version of how I became a skeptic. About 10 years ago, I was going through a particularly hard breakup, and I sort of lost my shit. I was already an atheist at this point, but my reasons were emotional ones. As proof that atheism doesn't guard against holding other ridiculous beliefs, I was the kind of person who really, really wanted magic to be true. With nothing else to do but mope around, I set out on my first skeptical endeavor. I systematically attempted to recreate any method I could find for using magic. Chants, postures, meditation, prayers, whatever. I did stop short of potions, though, to my credit. After months of attempts, I had proven to myself that even though there might be someone out there who could do magic, I was not one of them. I then used the same research techniques to learn how the people who were doing this magic were faking it. And after that, fuck it, I started looking into religion. And eventually, I'd uncovered so much bullshit that my co-hosts and I had no choice but to start a podcast. This is a side note for any of your listeners who don't like your laughing. Why don't you come give us a try? We're two humorless bastards, and you might just fit in perfectly. Anyway, glory hole, motherfuckers.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I never really went for magic either. I don't remember doing that.
Tarot?
Tarot's different, I think. Yeah. Tarot's a little different. I did think tarot was a thing for a little while. But I didn't think tarot was a magical thing. I thought tarot was a subconscious thing. You look at the cards, you shuffle
the
cards.
What?
And your brain subconsciously puts them in a position that will.
Fucking well done, brain.
So, yeah, I know. Fucking.
That's awesome.
Yeah, my brain's smarter than me, it turns out.
I remember a friend of mine read my tarot. She was like into that shit. She did a tarot reading. And I had known her for like 10 years. So, like, she knew me very well. And she read the tarot thing. And I thought, like, wow, that's pretty insightful. And then I was like, well yeah, but she's known me for 10 years.
Sure.
Like, how hard is
sure.
it to be insightful about somebody you've known for a decade?
Yeah.
Like,
God, could you imagine the readings you can give to people?
Right.
You know, the amount of, you know, especially if you know someone's like uncomfortable in their job or
right.
you know,
yeah,
all those
exactly.
little things. Oh, they, you know, you're going to, you know, if they wanted kids and they couldn't have kids, could you imagine the things you could do? Absolutely.
You could wreak fucking havoc on their psyche with that.
And the thing
shit.
Is like all those things are about getting to know the person,
yeah.
you know. So, Tom, we got a message from Daryl. Why don't you read Daryl's message?
He says, I'd asked our pastor, fundamentalist Mennonite cult, to carry a marriage proposal for me. Men in that cult must propose.
Mennonite? Isn't that a type of deodorant? Bye, Mennonite. Costanza.
Men in that cult must propose via the pastors so they can vet the marriage.
What? Do you have to do it via semaphore?
Right.
And sign it at someone? You have to put it on the bat signal and send it up into a cloud? You have to take your message, put it in a bottle,
and hurl it into the...
Hurl it in the ocean.
At your pastor.
Yeah.
He's just walking by. Like,
gotta,
clunk.
You got to buy a kitten, tie it to a kitten's neck, and then set it free. If it comes back, your love was meant to be.
You just tie it real tight so the kitten can't run real far.
And when at the wedding, they don't throw the bouquet. They throw the kitten.
They throw the kitten.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that's a rough one.
Several weeks later, as I was waiting for my answer.
God,
a fucking tension would be fucking tragic.
Awful.
Here you are, desperately growing an enormous Mennonite beard, waiting weeks for someone to marry. Gee, I was waiting for my answer to come from the girl via her pastor and mine. I had Chinese takeout with my parents and siblings. My fortune cookie read, "Good news is coming from afar." An hour later, my pastor called me with the news that she had agreed to marry me. I'm sure this insistence contributed to my staying in that cult for another 9 years. That's fucking...
Wow. That's the thing, though, right? Is that when you're seeking for an answer, when you're looking for, you know, you have questions and you're just hoping that something happens, if you pray during that hope... You'll count the hits and forget the misses.
Sure.
And you just forget all the misses.
Plus, you're looking. I don't remember what it's called, but it's that thing where it's like, well, if you look for the number 15, you find it everywhere.
Yeah,
you
like
know?
Pattern seeking.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's so, you know, of course, it's like my fucking fortune cookie said it. Well, that's how fortune cookies are written.
Yeah.
You
all
know?
Fortune cookies talk about something like that. You could basically take 10 fortunes and 3 of them would be similar.
Right.
We got a message from Carolyn, Tom, and Carolyn talks about some conspiracy stuff.
She said, my dad believed in just about every crazy conspiracy theory there was, and I was young and impressionable, and his daughter. So did I. He even told us that the government was trying to kill him for knowing too much, Then he died mysteriously at age 49. I was 14. That's sad. So for years, I believed that the government killed my dad, along with all the conspiracy theories he shared with me before he passed away. When I went off to university to discover the internet, yes, I'm that old, I'd spend hours Googling my dad's name and come up with the craziest shit about him and how he was taken into questioning by the CIA and poisoned because he knew too much. When September the 11th happened, my first thought was that the Bush administration orchestrated it. Then a few years later, I met the woman my dad spent the majority of his time with during the last 2 years of life, and she was so overtly crazy. She swore she knew she had been taken to Mars.
Oh, no!
And she woke up with red dirt in her bed. Wouldn't it be more plausible she was taken to Georgia? You know?
Look, I'll only believe she went to Mars if she wakes up with the fucking lander in her bed. Like, you wake up with a fucking rover in your bed? Fair enough,
right?
You like, went to fucking Mars.
You wake up and there's curiosity. Yeah. Right there.
Yeah, you're riding it like fucking urban cowboy. I'm with you. You know, I'm with you. Come up with a little fucking dirt in your bed? I need a little more substantial evidence than that, I think.
It made me question everything my dad had said, and slowly I became a skeptic. Funny enough, I had always been an atheist, even though my crazy dad was a Methodist preacher.
Wow.
That's tremendous.
Did you ever believe in conspiracy theories?
I don't think I can think of one that I believed in. I wasn't above them. I don't think I believed in one, though. Did you?
Now, when we were in junior college, this is when we met years ago, we had a mutual friend, and he had a book of conspiracy theories. He had a book of the subgenius that he was giving around to people, I remember reading that. And then he had a book on conspiracy theories. It was a graphic novel type book, like a big sort of comic book.
Illustrated
version of fucking conspiracies, and there's dozens of these conspiracies in there. And I started reading it, and it freaked me the fuck out as an adult. And I was a full-on adult at that point. Right. I mean, I went to college late, so I was in my 20s, my early 20s at the time. And I remember reading this thing, and it freaked my shit out. I couldn't believe – I thought – I was just gullible. I remember reading it and thinking, holy shit, this Martin Luther King killing thing – this is crazy. All these things that they've picked out. This JFK thing. This is crazy. Why haven't they released this information? Yada, 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 all this stuff. And I remember really like freaking out about it. I don't remember. Those are the two main ones.
What about the Masons? I think I believed the Masons.
The Masons one, too. There was like a Masons conspiracy that they controlled. Like,
I didn't really know what I believed about it. I just thought it was like.
Like, what are you people doing in there?
Yeah, I was just curious.
It's just like, a secret society.
What's
so
it's
like,
going on in there, guys?
Do you guys have a throne? What's going on?
It's a fucking moose lodge, dude. Right, whatever. Like, it's fucking old guys want to drink together. It's
right.
You know?
I know. But I was real curious. Was me like, too. All these presidents were Masons were and all Masons the fucking astronauts were Masons and whatever.
Whatever, dude. They were also white males. You know? What I definitely had some conspiracy thoughts, though. And I definitely, growing up, I think, you know, I think that stuff wasn't out of the realm of possibility. And I think early on, even into late adulthood, until I started becoming a skeptic, I was susceptible to them. I just thought I was. And I remember hearing about this one doctor. This was later on, after I was married, I heard about this doctor. And this doctor was he was a doctor who was doing alternative therapies. And the reason why he gained he had some sort of credibility in this other person's eyes was that because he was so dangerous, the AMA wanted to kill him. And I remember that was the thing that they said.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, you know, because this is a trusted person. And I thought, why would they want to do that? And then I thought, you know, it takes a while for you to get back to the source. You know, this is what happened with Carolyn. She trusted the source of her father. And you trust these sources in your life as like, wow, this person knows a lot about this stuff. This person is a trusted source. This is someone who I trust. And then you realize, well, where did you hear it from? Oh, and then suddenly everything starts to unravel. Oh, you heard it from him.
Right.
Well, fucking, where's your proof, bro? You got proof that they fucking, you know, get fucking Guido out to lay a hit on you?
Right.
Where's your proof?
Yeah.
Instead, what we're doing is just trusting this person. And I just don't and this is you know, this classic skepticism. It's not that I don't want to trust you. It's that I want to trust you after you've provided me with some evidence other than you saying this is a thing. Yeah.
I guess I did believe in like the super left-wing anti-corporate kind of conspiracies for a while. Like I was pretty don't know if they were conspiracy theories, but I sort of bought into that whole like hyper left wing, you know, anti-corporate, every corporation is evil, all corporations are.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, like mass, a guy like, would vote for a Barack Obama or something?
Yeah,
or,
some, yeah like something
a,
like that.
A Bernie you know? Sanders supporter?
A Green Party yeah. kind of a guy, you know.
We got a message from Selena, and Selena says, years ago, I was a pagan, and my father wasn't wearing a helmet, was drinking, and as can be easily predicted, got into an accident on his quad. I performed one spell. And shortly after that, got a phone call that the pressure in his brain went down. A while later, I performed another spell, which was followed by another phone call sometime after with another improvement. Therefore, magic.
Magic. That's great. I love that.
I remember when my dog was sick, I prayed. I remember praying really hard. My dog was dying, and I was super sad. And I wanted it, you know, I just wanted the dog to be better. So I remember crying and praying. And we took the dog to the vet. We didn't just fucking pray, right?
Sure, right, yeah.
Did another thing. And the vet was skilled enough to bring the dog back from, you know.
The brink,
the
right?
The brink. Yeah. And it was 4 or 5 days in his care. And the dog the dog got better.
Sure.
And I remember attributing that to God for a very long time. I remember doing that. And I could see where doing this with magic would be
just as easy. Oh, absolutely, right? Yeah.
Because it's a wish. It's a genie thing.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, like, if your dad had passed, you would have blamed it on the drinking and the quad accident.
Sure, yeah, you wouldn't have
been like, my fucking spell didn't work.
Jeez, I totally did the spell wrong and wound up killing him.
Yeah, that would be the other thing you might think, is that right? Like, oh, I did the spell wrong, or I didn't fucking burn enough sage or whatever.
We got another message. This one is from Orlando. We're going to play it.
Hi, guys, and Glory Hole. Thanks for the opportunity to tell this story. A long time ago when I was a teenager, I used to deliver the newspaper, and I earned a couple of bucks like that, which allowed me to buy comic books, go to the movies, see concerts. And yet, my mother visited a psychic. I don't know why. She was Catholic. And this person told her that I was going to die in a bike accident. She saw my red candy apple, shrinking majestic bike destroyed by a vehicle. And my mom came home extremely upset, even crying, and she told me that I was not to work anymore as a newspaper boy, delivery guy. And, well, that's it. Lost my income. Destroyed by woo-woo. There you go.
Aw, Orlando. Feel bad for you, man. That sucks.
Yeah, right? Like, you're a kid, you got a fucking...
It's like your dad not letting you borrow the lawnmower to go cut other people's lawns.
My dad would have done that shit. He'd been like, what if my lawnmower breaks? My dad wouldn't let me get a driver's license because he's like, well, you can't. How are you going to learn to drive? And I'm like, well, you can teach me in your car. And he's like, I'm not letting you drive my car. And so I was like, okay, I had to buy a car and learn on the car I bought. I bought a car without a license that I didn't know how to drive.
Isn't that illegal to buy a car without a license?
I don't know. I bought it from a friend.
Oh, there you go.
From a friend's parents,
sure.
You know.
There you go.
Yeah, and it was a stick, and I couldn't drive. I couldn't drive stick, but my dad would have done that shit.
Figured that out.
Yeah, he'd have been like, sounds a lot like your problem, son.
What about prophecy? Was there any prophecy for you at all?
No, I don't think I ever got into prophecy or knew any. I don't think I ever was exposed to that world.
Yeah, no prophetic dreams or any of that stuff. And this in particular is fortune telling, right? So that's prophetic in some way.
Now, my brother got into dream interpretation. I remember that. Like, he would get, like, all into that. Mm. And he would, like, he had the books where, like, the symbols meant this and that and the other thing. And
I'd rather watch people masturbate.
That's
really just it. Horrible. I mean, that's all the dream interpretation is, in my opinion. I don't think that stuff has anything. I'll watch a movie with a thing in it and then have a dream about the exact same thing later on. It's just a different context. And I'll be like, yeah, I watched a movie with that in it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that – I don't think I ever – I did think at one point that there were certain symbols – in dreams that meant things. And then I later read a science book that was like, yeah, it's almost certainly not the case. It's just like random shit happening in your brain.
It's just a
your
firing
desperate
in.
Attempt to make, you know, to make meaning out of nonsense. And I'm
it
like,
is
oh.
nonsense. It's like my dreams are always nonsense. Right. Once in a while, they'll make sense, but I think they only make sense in the sense that I tried to make sense of them.
Yeah, right. You're putting the meaning there. Yeah. Yeah.
We got a message from Kay in Kentucky, Tom, from some more woo.
I've got an odd belief that stems from when I was a newborn. I was born with a layer of skin covering the opening from my stomach to my intestines. My parents still tell the story of me starving to death while awaiting surgery.
What?
Terrible story.
What a horrible thing.
What a fucking asshole that little piece of skin is, right?
Jeez, yeah.
Like, that's a death sentence for, like, most of all of human history.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
I got a baby, looks great, don't know why, doesn't get any bigger, just dies for no reason.
Oh, Jesus.
You would have no idea why it happened.
Yeah.
You know, for almost the entirety of human history. But my dad was a praying man. God heard his prayer and he healed me the day before my surgery.
Huh.
Huh, imagine.
So the surgery still took place then,
I'm
is what
guessing
you're saying.
It did.
It was, or was it the day before your surgery and poof, you were healed?
You know, I would be more sympathetic to that argument if the doctor did the surgery. Was like, hey, totes no need for it now.
Yeah, no, he opens you up and be like, huh.
The skin flap's just gone.
I totally thought there was a skin flap in here yesterday.
That's why you were
starving. I shouldn't be opening up newborns like this.
Willy-nilly
open newborns.
Hang on a minute. Hey, your baby looks a little peaked. Let's cut him open and see if there's a skin flap.
Is there a skin flap in there?
But the best part is, since then, I was told if I ever lost my faith, God would do the same thing to my children. Isn't God great?
That's so mean.
So mean.
Yeah, I was. That's why I never had kids, because my mom said I would wind up like me.
Yeah,
so
right.
So I was like, there's no way I'm going to do that.
There's not physically not enough room.
Yeah. Wait, there's only so much resources on the planet.
Right? Come on.
Are you kidding me? Talking about sustainability here, right. Mom. Sustainability.
Like 8 billion people or two Cecils.
Oh, this next message, this next recorded message is from Kyle.
Hey, Tom and Cecil. This is Kyle from Fullerton, California. Not your major kind of woo, but I used to try and flick my quarters into the soda machine because the thing is just so freaking unreliable.
I love it.
At getting the coins to be accepted, that I thought, oh, well, if I throw the coin in a certain way that it'll make it work. Well, it doesn't. All right. The thing just sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. But I would spend minutes trying to flick the coin in certain ways to get my soda. And I no longer do that. Anyways, glory hole, motherfuckers.
Literal minutes on your soda. You know, it's like fucking. Like, you ever get to an elevator and the fucking thing's pressed already and somebody walks up and presses it and then it's not there yet. So they press it like two or three more times. Like there's no combination of button presses that is going to get the elevator to you any faster than it's already on its way.
Right. The elevator's like, wait, someone's in a hurry. Hang on a minute.
Everybody is like, it's like a fucking, it suddenly turns into a ride at Great America if you press the proper key combination. Like,
you know. Related to Kyle's story, I used to believe the old fucking apocryphal canard that you could take the slugs that you would find in construction sites, you know, like the electric box slugs, and use them as quarters and get candy. And they don't work. Like, did you ever try that?
No, never. Although when I was in high school, a kid wound up taking a long piece of scotch tape and he put it on a dollar bill. And I remember he would load it into the pop machine that we had at and he would, as it would get to the very end, he would pull it out. And then the thing would be like, you have a dollar. And he would press it and he would just look for kids to give soda away so he could take the change from the soda.
Ah.
So he would take the change, the leftover change, which was like, I want to say soda back then, I'm going to date myself, soda back then. I think was 50 cents.
Sure.
So it was a 50 cent soda, 12 ounce can, and then he would pull the 50 cents and then he would say, who wants the soda? And he would just, I remember walking by almost every day in like fourth period having a free soda because he was just giving them away at that point.
I remember the soda machines didn't used to have the little tray. And I would reach my arm up there
shit.
And just yank the sodas out of the little clamps.
There you go.
I saw a kid. I was at Chicago Park District, and I remember I saw this kid, his fucking arm up the machine's ass, and he just plunks a soda out. I was like, well, I need to learn to do that
right
now.
You can do that.
And if you do it wrong, like, you break the can, and, like, you get fucking root beer and fucking shit all over you, but you're a kid.
Well, it's trial and error.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out.
Right.
Or you'll lose an arm.
Yeah.
Tom, we got a message from Mike.
Mike says, when I was around 18, I called myself a seeker. I did a lot of meditating, introspection, mental gymnastics, read about religion and mostly alternative religions because I got my fill of the Bible and traditional religion from my Catholic upbringing, catechism, communion, and confirmation. I found Ekinar, which is a sort of conglomeration of Eastern religions, astral projection, and general woo.
It sounds like a character in Dungeons and Dragons.
I know, right?
Like, you're going to see the Prince of Ekinar. Yeah.
I always held some doubt, but I waded in. I read some of their books, and a few friends and I were into it for a year or two. I love that you can always get your friends into your stupid
shit. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're like, hey, man, have you heard about Ekinar?
You guys want to join my guild?
I'm a guild. The astral projection stuff was pretty neat. It's basically just exploring your imagination, in my opinion. There were two things that made it personal for me. The day I was born was at the day that the living embodiment of God and their belief, Paul Twitchell, was given the rod of Ek power.
Oh, God, shut the fuck up.
This is amazing.
Shut the fuck up.
The rod of Ek power.
Hold on.
Paul
the
Twitchell
God
has the rod of
Paul
Ek power.
Twitchell?
Paul
Twitchell?
It's Paul
what the
Twitchell?
Fuck?
The first thing I would do with all my godlike powers is change my last name.
Exactly.
To like Ryan Force or something.
I know.
You know?
Major power. Whatever you are, Sunny Presence. Whatever your name is.
Yeah, right?
Something other than Paul Twitchell.
Then when a friend was in an accident and in a coma for 8 months, I spoke Ek mantras into her ear with the intent to guide her to someone who could help her. And a couple of days later, she came out of it.
Ek mantras. Isn't that from that Holy Grail? We're like, Ekki, saying.
Trippy, since I heard most people don't wake up after being in a coma that long. I don't buy any of this stuff, although I think Ek is as valid as any other religion, which is to say not. I seeked, and although it took me a long time, I found the truth. So thanks for your help, my way path to reality.
That's
so
really interesting. Yeah, the Eastern stuff, I remember after I dropped Christianity, because I thought, well, that's kind of absurd.
Right.
I immediately, and I think this is a path a lot of people face,
yep. Mm-hmm.
I immediately started reading Buddhist stuff. And the Tao Te Ching, I read that. I read the Buddhist stuff. I read the I think I read something from the Hindu, the Dharmapada maybe I read. I don't know if that's Buddhist or Hindu. I don't remember.
In I think the case, Bhagavad Gita is the Hindu one, right?
That sounds delicious. God, that sounds good. Man, God, I'm hungry for Indian food now. I'm hungry for literal Indians, actually.
Yeah, I would
eat
the whole
Indian.
Thing.
Yeah, I'll just eat
yeah.
Indian.
Yeah, I'll eat him while he's cooking.
Sure, yeah. At this point, I would eat a cow in India, you know? But anyway, so
I want to make Indian food and replace the chicken or whatever with beef and
the
just
chicken.
See how it works.
Yeah. But I remember reading that stuff though right afterwards because I thought, well, this stuff isn't real, but I need a thing.
Yeah, right.
And so I looked for something, and again, I came out of my phase with that stuff real fast though.
I remember thinking in a comparative religions class that it was kind of like a choose your own adventure, like you had to come out of it choosing one. Like that one of these has to be.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and then I was like, I don't think any of these are right. Yeah. None of this works.
Yeah. So we got a message from Mikhail. Did I say that right?
I believe you pronounced
Mikhail.
That purpose. But yeah,
is that
perfect.
He
yeah.
said that with a nice Jewish he says, when I was little, my family and I were moderately religious. My mother, who also casually believes in some softcore woo, used to listen to some astrologer who was on the radio every Friday. One Friday, when I was about 6 years old, my underdeveloped skeptic sense tingled, and I asked her, Mom, isn't astrology bullshit? You got away with saying
bullshit
at six years old?
Man.
I got my fucking mouth washed out for saying cocksucker at five, so.
You weren't raised by a swear
God
engine.
Damn. I wish I could have said, hey, Mom, are you a fuckwit? I wish I could have said that at that age, but I never had the opportunity. So Mikhail says, Mom, isn't astrology bullshit? And she answered, usually yes, but this one isn't. She's actually pretty good. I think that's pretty great. I think that there are people who give – there's people who make concessions for certain types of that particular thing. They don't think that this thing's real, but they think that this person who does that
right.
thing is
yep.
real. So maybe they might not believe in all of the ghost talker two people, the right, fucking whatever. Twos. I don't even know what they call those people.
They call them ghost talker twos.
Ghost talker twos. Those people. You know, they might think Sylvia Brown's a person.
That's, sure.
You know, right. Currently a
I don't
ghost.
Believe she's a person.
She's currently a ghost. But, you know, that or Edward Snowden. What was that guy's name?
Edward Snowden.
That guy's name. What was his name? It was John Edwards. That's it.
Edward Snowden.
Actually, it might not be John. It might be John Edward. I think we've done this in the past where we mess up because there is a guy by the name of Edwards who is running for president.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's Edward, I think, is
I
the
know.
Guy. We is got yelled guy, at for it before.
What was the name of his show? Like Crossing the Line or
Crossing
walking
Over.
The line
crossing
or,
Over.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Walking the Line. Yeah, it was a Johnny Cash show.
Johnny Cash, the psychic.
Hey, y'all.
I'm just back from the Ring of Fire.
How high is the water, mama? Now, this is from Michael, and Michael sent in a message, too.
He says, when I was young, my parents were convinced, and probably still are to this day, that Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards were demons. Literally, when kids play with Pokemon, my parents believed that they were playing with demon cards and that the cards had demons in them.
Demons in them?
Yeah, like squishy little flat demons. Like
tiny little demons.
Unshuffleable.
I was homeschooled, so it was easy for them to keep us away from the cards, but I still had friends who had them because when I was 8, everyone had those damn things. Tell you what, I got an 8-year-old, everyone already has those damn things still. One day, my friend taught me how to play Yu-Gi-Oh! And gave me some cards. My mom went through my bag and found my new Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards and confronted me about it. When she didn't buy the I'm holding it for a friend.
Oh, God, I've done that so many times as a kid.
It's not mine, it's my friend's.
Oh, Dad, those aren't my cigarettes.
It's not my girlfriend's pregnancy test.
She's holding it for a friend.
She's holding it for the dry cleaners.
Oh, no.
I remember crying my little 8-year-old eyes out because I truly believed that I had brought demons into our house and played with them, and my mom wanted to pray over me.
Oh, my God. That's traumatic.
That is
actually.
Fucking serious.
That's
traumatic. That's some fucking bullshit. Yeah.
I remember not cards, but I do remember the metal backlash that was back then.
Yeah.
Specifically, Judas Priest and
Ozzy got backlash.
A bunch of those people, and they talked about backmasking in the songs, which as an adult looking on that now, it's like watching the first Friday the 13th movie. And when you were a kid, you basically pissed your bed. You were so afraid,
right.
And you watch it now, and you look, and you're like, what the fuck? What was I thinking? That was a fucking rubber head. That is the rubberest head I've ever seen in my entire life. It's the same thing with this backmasking. You listen to the backmasking, you're like, are we fucking serious? Are we really doing this? And you're like that, and then they say, oh, do you hear? He said, God hates you and Satan loves you. And you're like, no, it sounded like doesn't sound like anything. Doesn't sound.
You're distressingly good at that. What? It was so awesome. I don't know why you can do that. That was terrific.
Oh, so I remember that. All those cards, you're so much younger than me because all those cards, card games like that never came. They didn't come out until I was in my 20s.
Yeah,
Magic
right.
was the first one that I played, and Pokemon is much after
that. College,
yeah, I played Magic in college. Yeah. So this one is from Elvis, but Elvis sent this in. This is Sharon, his wife.
When I was young, I read everything I could find about a cult.
She's also in the middle of like a giant room or something. she's like reading this from a church or something.
She recorded this from a secret underground lair.
I know. With no furniture in it. Just a big room.
Witchcraft and fortune telling. I learned palm reading and found I was good at it. I didn't realize that I was responding to people's questions and saying things they wanted to hear. As I studied science and psychology, I understood the effects of the occult were explained by the placebo effect, or the tendency to see patterns and connections where none exist. As a middle-aged mom, I found some tarot cards, and I read the directions that came with the deck and began doing readings for fun. I was asked to do readings at an after-the-prom event at a high school. These run from midnight to 4 a.m. and are designed to keep kids off the streets after the prom.
And from fucking.
Right? They're not. They don't give a shit if a kid's on the street. They just give a shit where the kid's dick is. That's
from
it.
Fucking.
I'd tell them how an upside down card meant they'd be given bad advice or possibly good advice that they wouldn't take. So they must think very carefully about anything anyone told them. I'd tell them that an image of a guy stuck through with swords indicated there would be trouble in their life, and other cards indicated the resources that they would use to prevent that trouble from ruining them. I gave them lots of safe, matronly advice that kids normally ignore while they sat there wide-eyed and open-mouthed because of the cards.
That's brilliant, actually.
What a gambit.
Yeah, yeah. The only, I mean, of course, the only thing that I can say that, that might be the tiny downside is that you're not teaching them to think critically. But I think at that age, I personally think you have to come into thinking critically on your own. I think that's one of the things that, you know, that makes it work. You can't just have someone tell you, you need to think critically, and then you do.
Oh, I know. Yeah, why didn't you mention that before?
Why didn't somebody say this earlier?
Right.
You gotta fall into it. So, you know, while not – it's hard to teach people how to think critically. They have to sort of – I think they have to come to it. But I think in replacing that, right – this is a good way to do it.
Sure. It's a good way to get them down that path.
And I think that this is touching on something we mentioned earlier, which is, you know, the finding of patterns and that sort of thing. Yep. That's something real common. Next voice message is from Katie.
Hi there, you guys. So this is for your woo show. My life has pretty much been defined by woo. I was homeschooled and very, like, isolated in my childhood. We did not go to doctors. I was actually taken away from my parents.
Holy shit.
The state took us away because they were withholding medical care from
Jesus,
us.
That's awful.
We were taken away for not a significantly long period of time, but we were taken away. The whole thing, dowsing, Reiki, healing crystals, chiropractic. I've never been vaccinated, and my parents were anti-vaxxers, like, before the internet. So
before it was cool.
They
That's
were anti-vaxxers
OG.
Before
yeah.
that was cool, even. They were, like, trailblazers. But the one woo thing that I actually still
like
do is chiropractic.
Right.
I also live in Chicago. You probably know the chain that I go to, and it really does seem to help with, like, headaches and back pain and neck pain. I definitely don't believe that it helps with, like, diabetes.
Yeah, it is definitely not good for the diabetes.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, Wilford Brimley will still have his fucking foot sawn off.
Let me tell you, crack that motherfucker's back as much as you want. His foot is still coming off. We're still taking your foot, Wilford. We're still taking your foot. I don't care how many times you crack your neck.
But I'm limber as a son of a bitch.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, we've been on chiropractic before, but I think what we get on chiropractic about is specifically the people who do the, you know, hey, you need to get your back cracked because of this, you know, like you said, diabetes or your fucking
allergies or cancer or whatever.
My kidneys aren't fucking functioning correctly, or I have cancer or whatever.
Right.
Those are the people. But I had a friend recently, that I know is a very smart person. Recently just tried chiropractic. Now, he went over to Europe and had a very difficult vacation because his back was hurting the whole time, came back, had some chiropractic stuff done, and his back is better than it has been in years. And so, you know, there is something to be said about sort of lower back pain and possibly neck pain and maybe even headaches based on chiropractic. But once you start getting past that simple realm of those, you know, very connected pieces to the back, all the data starts falling apart. This one's interesting, Tom. This is from Lisa, talking about some hippy-dippy stuff.
She says, I was one of those hippy-dippy herbal organic mothers in sandals. My kids wore non-gendered clothes, amber necklaces, and cloth nappies.
Clothes.
And we never ate shop-bought bread. I believe in all the associated woo that goes along with inclusion in my subculture. The list of things that I believed were toxic was pages long and included many previously useful household items, which were subsequently removed. Sometimes my anxieties helped me to make more thoughtful, considered choices for my family. Some of these choices turned out well. My son was breastfed until he was 4. I carried my children in slings and pouches. We co-slept in
a kangaroo?
In a family bed. We also ate a lot of homemade hummus with carrot sticks. But sometimes the fear that resulted in those choices had negative impacts. For example, since fluoride is, air quotes, a toxin, we used only the non-fluoride toothpaste from the health food store, and we only drank filtered, unfluoridated water. I was forced to reconsider the wisdom of this when my toddler needed extensive dental work to put 4 silver crowns and 4 caps on his rotten baby teeth. He had to have a generic anesthetic.
A generic anesthetic. We don't spend a lot of money on anesthetic in this house.
Kirkland brand anesthetic. He had to have a general anesthetic, and now every time he laughs, his mouth full of silver is on full public display. This makes him look like a small rapper.
He's got a grill. Good for him.
It makes me look like one of those deadbeat mothers who most likely gives their kid a Happy Meal every day along with a baby bottle full of Coke. I feel very bitter about this.
It's interesting that the woo here is that alternative medicine and or new age ideas, right?
Right, yeah.
I don't think a lot of these ideas are very I don't think that they're terribly countercultural. You know, breastfeeding is, I think, in vogue now, isn't it?
I mean, like, our family, like, it's funny because I read this and I was like, oh man, we're pretty hippy dippy by this, because, like, you know, we, like, my wife breastfeeds our kids, and not the 8-year-old.
Yeah, that'd be 8-year-old does that. That's weird.
Yeah, that's sort
he's
of
like pushing his brother out of there because he's the runt. He's pushing him out.
Like, out of the
get out of here, buddy.
And, like, I'll carry the fucking kid in a slinger.
Oh,
whatever,
yeah, dude.
It saves my back.
Absolutely. And, you know, think about it this way: if you're ever rushed by a gunman, it's like a bulletproof vest.
There you go. Know what I mean? Well, maybe not bulletproof,
yeah,
but at
no,
least it slows it down
a little. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. This is interesting, though. That's a level of woo that I just missed. The alternative medicine, alternative therapy sort of thing is something that I probably could have, if I didn't get into skepticism, could have really hit hard.
All that hippie stuff.
I never got into it, though. I was close.
Yeah, I think I was.
But that
I knew
detox
a lot of those
shit
people.
And stuff, I never got into it, but I was close. Yeah. Jack sent in a voicemail.
Hey, this is Jack from Milwaukee. I have a woo story. A member of our family went through several wristwatches that broke, and she realized the reason was because the iron in her blood created a magnetic field that stopped it.
What?
Either by shorting out the battery or bending the metal gears or something.
Bend the metal! Bend the metal! How strong are the fucking...
How the fuck do you gotta bend the metal?
Fucking, what are you, Magneto? What the fucking what? Grok! Are you kidding? I'm trying to buy Magneto a watch. He can't take it off.
You gotta get him a carbon fiber watch. Yeah. That's the key. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, man.
And that got her interested in magnets. And she explained to me that wearing magnets on your body could heal people on the same principle.
The same principle as it breaks your watch? So wait a minute. I got a cold. And you're like, well, maybe if I break my watch with magnets, then I won't have a cold anymore.
It's better now.
Because it flings the blood into all the nooks and crannies of your circulatory system.
What I love about my circulatory system is that I can spread butter on it, and it's delicious. All those nooks and crannies get filled with cholesterol. Oh, man.
As a fat man, I am made mostly of English muffins. That's
entirely. And all the English people are like, what's an English muffin?
We just call them muffins.
And speeds up the healing process. So I put magnets into my shoes. I had a back massager and wore a magnetic bracelet, although I didn't get the bracelet near my watch because I knew that would screw everything
terrible.
Up. And I did this for 3 years. And I know that this worked for Ozzy Osbourne because he was cured and healed in the great field.
Oh, I like that it ended in song.
That was terrific.
That's worthwhile. That is not a thing. Magnets, how do they work? I never got into that.
My dad thinks that he can only wear certain wristwatches from certain companies because his body breaks. They, like, don't run right or whatever. And then my brother thinks the same thing because that's what my dad thinks.
Your brother's a fucking idiot, though.
I know he is, man.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
And that's, you know, that's just genetics, but really, wow.
I know.
So we're going to wrap up the show with a message from Sari.
Hey, guys. This is Sari from Australia. So my woo story is when I was a teenager, I got sucked in pretty heavily into evangelical Christianity. Went along to a Benny Hinn revival meeting where he pulled me up on stage and told me that through the power of Jesus, he had healed me. I was suffering pretty badly. I have ulcerative colitis. And of course, you know, being a gullible young teenager, I believed him. He actually specifically told me that to prove my faith, I had to stop taking my medication. So I did it, stopped taking my medication, didn't tell anyone, obviously. Ended up violently ill, in hospital, needing a lot of surgery and with a lot of damage to my body that I still suffer from today. So, yeah, that's my run-in with woo.
It's terrible.
So thanks, Benny Hinn. Fuck you. Glory hole. Thanks, guys.
Wow, what a fucking twat, huh?
That shit is not harmless.
Yeah, that's not harmless at all, man.
It's not silly. Yeah. No, it's not. Yeah, it's not. I fucking got a crystal and I rubbed it on my fucking ankles or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's not magnets make my watch go bendy.
You know, the other thing too is with a lot of those, you know, I got fucking magnets in my thing or whatever. I don't know how long they're delaying treatment, right? This is a clear delaying of treatment. This is clearly saying, don't do your treatment.
Yeah, it's actively telling her.
It's telling her not to. So this is a different, kind of evil.
Right. It's very directed.
It is. I don't know how often they lure you away from the actual thing. I know that in a lot of cases they do the prayer and medicine, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, that's a thing.
Yeah, because prayer that way when the medicine works, they can
blame the prayer.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Yeah, that's just a horrible story. Sorry. Well, that's the show for this week. We were thank everybody who sent messages or called in. We did get a lot of repeat stories, people that wound up sending in a lot of the same stuff. So if you didn't read yours, we apologize. But we had to trim it down some. Thank you to everybody who sent in voice messages and to all the people who wrote. You're the reason why this show even happened.
I thought this was great fun. So thanks, everybody. We appreciate all the appreciate all the participation.
So this is a short show this week. So the email section was the entire show. So we're going to skip the email section and we're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and views expressed in this show are that of the hosts only. Our poorly formed and expressed notions do not represent those of our wives, employers, friends, families, or of the local dairy council.